Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM. If you listen on 104.6 FM in the Auckland region, or if you listen on planetaudio.org.nz, wherever you are in the city, wherever you are in New Zealand, wherever you are in the world, I hope you enjoyed the show. Just before we go on to our first guest of the day, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street, west in the Auckland CBD. They opposite the iconic Civic Theatre. They have a selection of local craft and international draft beers on taps, a good selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good spirits, great food and music Wednesday through to Sunday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09377 3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. Well, it's an interesting round in Super Rugby, and I think, you know, there could be some movers, but I have to say last night's game was a cracker. But here to talk to us, as he does every Saturday, my good friend, former All Black AJ Whitten. G'day, mate. How are you, AJ?
Good morning, and some would say, Peggy, maybe possibly one of your only friends. But anyway, that's up for debate.
Yep. Anyway. Okay, so we're 5 seconds, and the insults begin. Yeah, you know. Listen. You got to love consistency. That's the main fact.
That's why. Anyway, good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you too, AJ. Okay, we might as well kick it off. Hurricanes 38, Crusaders 31. I have to say, when I looked at this Hurricanes side, oh my goodness, I have to say the loose forward trio, it's good. If you can bring Devin Flanders off the bench, that's a good side. Warner Dearns just gets better and better. Cam Roygaard, Love, you know, really good. A fantastic performance by the Hurricanes. They were pushed by the Crusaders. Fa'ana Nuku, he's been put into that number 7 jersey, and he's making the best of what he can do with that jersey. Probably beaten a few times and tactically beaten by Duplessis Corriffy, but good performance by him. AJ, your thoughts?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think it's definitely the game of the round, and one we sat down to watch. Not a bad crowd there at Henry Stadium also, but certainly watching the loose forwards with the combination of Leo Willey, Fa'anganu and Blackadder against the well-imposed IOC Larky and Corriffy. But hats off to the Canes, probably dominated in that area. But Fa'anganu certainly giving people some conversations, having a beer in the pub the way he's going. So, look, it lived up. I thought the Crusaders came out of the blocks, a hiss and a roar, but once again didn't manage to put points on the board. I think this is the second or third time. They appeared very dominant that first 15 minutes. And then, of course, once they got into gear, a bit more steady with the ball, held on to it, and the Canes dominated with two or three tries. And I think that was the winning of the game, because no matter how much they tried, the Crusaders just couldn't breach the defence enough. And the Canes came away with the win, and they're playing well. Cam Roygaard again, leading the cutter. He's playing some very consistent rugby, and no doubt a key linchpin for the Canes, and obviously for the All Blacks going forward. Thought Proctor played pretty well in the midfield, and they've just got a nice combination going all round. Very consistent in selections as Mr. Laidlaw, and again, I think we picked the Canes to win and picked them by 12 or under, and I think we got it all right.
They're actually really good to watch, the Canes, at the moment. And I have to say, when we looked last week at the Super Weekend, and of course some of the reports I've heard from people that were down in Christchurch, and you heard some reports, it was a bloody good weekend.
Yeah, fantastic weekend down there. And I think, you know, it was about rugby that weekend, which was great to see, because sometimes it gets swallowed up by other sports. But just the great atmosphere, social atmosphere, which I think is more important. And it would have been great for the whole city and the hospitality area. Everything's taken a bit of a hit. So it's just great to see some good news coming out.
Well, I was just going to say this, AJ. I've got this idea. If I can get us a major travel agent and sponsors, we could run a tour down there. I'll do the day, you do the night.
I might be getting a bit old for that, but you know me, there's a game of footy and a few nice cold drinks somewhere in it. I'm always up for the conversation.
Well, after the first game, we went to the Australian game, Force 20, Waratah 17. That's a probably their first win in Sydney. But I look at that Force team, it wasn't the prettiest game. In fact, Dylan Peach, 2 tries was good. Some of their loose forward play was good. Very stop-start, as we were discussing earlier. But for the Force, they've still got a chance to make that playoffs.
Yeah, and I got this wrong. I picked the Tars at home because, again, it's just probably the inconsistency with the Australian franchises. I'm desperate for the Force to keep in the hunt for the top six. And you know what? They deserve that. They dominated in vast periods of time. And you mentioned that, you know, the loose forwards, I thought, for the Force were good. Champions Krisnay and Tizzaro. They kept their opposites, you know, the abrasive Scott Young and Samu. But I think they are just disappointed, really, in the lack of creativity. No one looked really like breaking the line. Found it difficult, a lot of pick-up and goes close to the line. Once again, we're talking about 10 or 15 times. Surely there's got to be some overlap somewhere, or someone's just got to say, hey, well, let's just keep our back line moving, because you know, they're going to be like statues out there without getting any ball. But quite physical up front, and again, the lack of the creativity. This Swain's the number 5 for the Force. I think he's a toiler with his partner, Molina, and I think they just toiled away. And in the end, just too strong up front, and the Tars paid the price at home.
Absolutely. So we go to the games on Saturday. We started off 4:15, Fiji and Drua versus the Highlanders. Now, my mate Piper's somehow over there in Fiji. Accidentally, he's got a great life. I'm going to give it to him at the end of the show. Don't you worry about that, mate. But this one is crucial for both sides. When you stay in the competition, lose, you start looking towards next season.
Yeah, look, we talk about desperation, and of course the Highlanders grinding out a tough win down in Takaha Stadium on the weekend. So they fly in playing Drua at Bar. So look, I'm going to stick with the Drua. They sort of a bit inconsistent, but they sting you. And when you don't pick them, they seem to win from my end anyway. I see Nasila, the captain's in the second row. He's pulled back in. They've made a couple of changes there. The Fakatawa are number 12, so a pretty big game from them. They're going to dominate up front. That's where it always starts. And I see they're going to have brought Fakatawa back with that combination with Miller for the Highlanders. And I think he's more abrasive around the number 9 jersey than Lennox. And I think there'll be a few up and unders at the base of the scrum and ruck. So I think it's going to be very competitive. You know how the Fijian supporters come out in their droves to support their team. And I just think they might have an edge at home with that crowd. And either way, both sides definitely need a win.
And of course, then we go 7:30 at Albany, Moana Pacifica versus the Blues. Probably not the same hype as last year, but, you know, obviously for the Blues, they want to keep winning and keep in touch for potentially a home semi-finals.
Well, you'd be backing the Blues. There's no doubt about it. It's a slight improvement with the Moana Pacifica last weekend. They held in there pretty much all the way, but obviously another loss for Tana and his crew. The Blues, Burns made a few changes, 6 or 7. I don't know how that's going to affect them there. Hopefully it doesn't break up the combinations too much. Obviously, Papali'i, the head knock, he's out. Caleb Clark on his return. There'll be some interest to see how he performs. He should be rearing to go. Eklund, the number 2 jersey. But playing at their so-called home ground at Albany North Harbour Stadium, big game for Moana Pacifica. But I just don't think they've got the team to take the Blues down at this stage of the season. Big game for the Blues mentally, in that they secure this victory and keep in that top 3 of the table.
Absolutely, and then we go to the Australian game. Now, this is probably the game of the round in Australia, Reds versus Brumbies, and I'm going to stick my neck out. I think the Reds are probably the form Australian team in the competition, and I think that they're probably going to give the Brumbies a rugby lesson.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to stick with you too, because I've been disappointed in the Brumbies and Larkmart. As again, we talk about consistency. Well, it's certainly not there, up and down like a yo-yo. The Reds at home, Suncorp Stadium. I hope I haven't put the mocker on in there. They've got their combination, obviously, with 9 and 10 and Thomas and McLaughlin Phillips. That's starting to gain some momentum. Harry Wilson at number 8, the skipper, he always leads the way. He always gives you an honest game, and I've always liked their combination with Brian McFraid, his fellow Lucy's. So, yeah, the Brumbies, Lonergan and Meredith, that nice 9-10, we're going to have to have a big impact on the team. They've just got to get some consistent ball, but they're not as dominant up front as they have been. They're big driving mauls. They just don't seem to be able to convert that into points. Reds at home, yep, I'll be back at them also.
Yep, I think it's probably very, very likely that that the Reds will win that. And when we look at the Super Rugby table at the moment, AJ, like, obviously we can see that there is going to be a gap between, probably after this weekend, between the top three, which are the Hurricanes, Chiefs and the Blues. But then you have a look at it, that sixth place becomes interesting. A loss for the Brumbies, and they feel the pressure potentially as they go with four rounds to go.
Oh no, it's pretty tight there, that bottom three. I think we've certainly got the definition with those three, and the rest are scrapping it out, which is good. But I think there'll be at least possibly maybe one Aussie side that's got a chance to get a home semi, a home quarter. So in the end, it could be just all Kiwis.
Yeah, I think the way the table is, I believe we'll have, the Reds will be in there, no two ways
about
it.
Yeah,
Brumbies, I think, are in danger. I think the Waratahs may have done their dash. Watch the Force, they could make a surprise into that top six.
Yeah, good thing there, the Force, don't write them off. They're a better side than most things.
Anyway, AJ, what are you up to over the weekend, apart from, you know, obviously, obviously, which will probably involve some amber liquid and talking about yourself.
I had a couple the other night there. I was thinking of catching up with Fenton Little and Tigger and the crew to maybe watch the game later tonight with Marlowe and all the gang. They're thinking of coming over, even with Ted, so that'll be a surprise. I was going to invite Barley, but of course I said it's a BYO and he refuses when it's a BYO, so won't be tuning up. But maybe watch it. But he might try and go out and see the Rifles are playing Grammar, so my Grammar team.
How many clubs there are involved with Grammar?
Oh, well, that's a nice old story there, Mr. Piggy. So,
I was out at the Grammar of the West. I was out at Suburbs. That's what I call them. They don't like me. They've a couple of them came up to me. They said they quite like the banter us two do have.
Well, I tell you what, the funny thing is, I was just down there earlier in the week and they're putting up some new fencing. But sadly, no good for you because it's 5'5". You won't be able to see over it. You better go up in the club rooms and watch it from a seat.
I'm actually 5'5", AJ, so it's eye level, pal.
Well, we'll take your little wooden box. You'll be fine, son. The old crate, line red, that'll help you.
It would involve me drinking the line red, which won't be a pretty sight. AJ, have a good weekend. Enjoy the rest of the rugby. And we will catch up as we always do next week, mate.
Look after yourself, buddy. Take care.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, AJ. AJ Whitten, I can tell you something. He's always got to put a dig in. So, but hell, it's about a bit of fun. Anyway, I'm going to play a little bit of music before I get on to our regional club rugby wrap with Stephen Harris.
I can tell by the look in your eyes that the storm's coming back again. I can hear in the sound of your voice that you're starting to crack. After all of this time, I'd be lying if I said that I knew how to do it just right. 'Cause the truth is I lose it sometimes, and I need you standing there to remind me that I should say goodbye to all the clouds in my mind. Oh, I know it's been a bumpy road. Keep thinking there's so far to go. But take a look around, it's amazing. If we made it here, then we made it. No better place I'd rather be. All of my people here with me. Never took the time to celebrate it. But if we made it here, the days we would say that we're gonna make it out. How crazy would it be if they could see us now? Cause we used to dream so damn big to be in a place that looks just like this. Open your eyes or you just might miss everything that we always wished for. I think it's time to look around and realize, yeah, I know it's been a bump.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. We talk a bit of club rugby around the region, and before we get on to Stephen, this is brought to you by Force Electrical. Force Electrical was started in 2014 by my good mate Nick Brakovich and has since grown into a trusted name across the wider region. Why you should choose them? Well, first of all, reliability and knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. What they do? Well, what can they do? They can do anything from residential to commercial projects, ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage, and ELV solutions. So, for all your electrical work, give Force Electrical a call. Their number is 021-628-341, or you can email them nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. Big shout out to my old mate Brax. Hope things are well. Catch up in a few weeks' time. Anyway, we might as well introduce our man of the regions. I was going to call him the Prince of the Region, but that's Shane Jones. And I won't call him the court jester. Stephen Harris, how are you?
Oh, maybe Cottle. Steve of the Region might be the go, man.
Good to hear from you, man. Hey, yeah. We've got a big, 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 big weekend of rugby across the region, so I'm going to go straight into it right now. We're going to go Northland. We have Otamatea versus Ngāti Hene Moriwa, Horahora versus Hikarangi, Kerikeri versus Mid-Northern, Western Sharks versus Carmo, and Wellsford versus Old Boys Marist.
Oh, quickly roll through these. And once again, always a privilege and pleasure to never a chore to be on your show, my friend.
Now, things have changed since, like, you used to call it award winning. Obviously, I'm just, you know, you've been hanging out with all these award winning broadcasters, and you've, so I'm just like yesterday's trash, aren't I, mate? Anyway, no, it's all good, mate.
not at all, my friend. Not at all, my friend.
It's good fun. Hey,
we'll get into the footy. I know you're pressed for time. Remembering the Northern competition, Mid-Northern way out in front. The only unbeaten team in the competition on 30 points, Horahora 21. And then there's a real scrap going on for sort of second, third, fourth, and probably to make up that top four, Horahora and second. Old Boys Marist in third. And Ngāti Hene, who take on Otamatea today, they're travelling away, but I think they'll get the win against an Otamatea team that's just struggling to find their way in this level of rugby. Then we've got Horahora at home to Hikarangi. Hikarangi second to last on the table. Horahora will want to remain in second place. They've only dropped the one game so far in this comp. I think they'll carry on their merry way. Kerikeri today host top of the table, Mid-Northern, a little bit further north up there in the Bay of Islands. Kerikeri trying to stay in touch, but I suggest Mid-Northern will be far too strong on the visitors. Western Sharks host Carmo. Western Sharks are sitting in sixth place. They'll always want to stay in touch. They're just ahead of Carmo, so this could be a pretty even battle. I reckon they go for the home side in this one, Western Sharks to win at Dargaville. In the final game, Wellsford OBM. Wellsford put up quite a good effort against Horahora last weekend. Hard one to call. OBM wanting to stay in touch there in third placing. You know what? I'm going to go for the home side. Wellsford, they've just been showing enough to take out the victory. So there we have it. That wraps up Northland.
North Harbour. We go down the motorway a bit to North Harbour. Massey versus Helensville. East Coast Bays versus North Shore. Kumu versus Silverdale. A little bit of a derby there. And Northcote versus Maharangi. Now, on that Massey Helensville game, Stephen, you're probably with me. You're probably going to agree with me when I say Massey.
Yeah, I think so. They're or thereabouts. They're probably the third best team in the comp. at the moment and still sitting in second place. So it's really important that they carry on their winning way.
And, of course, this one I think is the game of the round in Harbour. East Coast Bays versus North Shore. Now, North Shore have been so dominant in North Harbour rugby, but East Coast Bays last year tipped them over at Windsor Park, and I'm going to go for an upset. I'm going to go ECB.
Oh, man, no. I've got to go the other way. I've got to disagree with you. I think that'll be East Coast Bay's second loss, even though they've been playing some good code. Only one loss this particular season. But, yeah, I can't see North Shore dropping this one. They would have learned a lot from that game they dropped against ECB last year.
And, of course, then we have Kumu versus Silverdale. Now, this one is a bit of a scrapper for the old toilet seat, but I don't know. This one's too close to call. I might give it to Kumu.
I don't know. Hopefully there's two toilets in the ablution block. I reckon it could be a draw, mate. Now that game being played in Kumu, I believe.
Yeah,
based on that alone, I'll go for the home side.
Yeah, okay, I've probably gone for the home side. North Coast versus Maharagi. North Coast not really having a good season this year. They're struggling a bit, but I think they may just be too good for Maharagi.
Yeah, I think so. They're starting to get a few players back as well. I see New Zealand under 20s prop is rehabbed from his injury. Riley Tofilau, who's one heck of a tight head prop, and I reckon it'll be a bolster for the North Coast team. I see he started off the bench last weekend. Wouldn't surprise me if he starts today.
Absolutely. And so then we go further down the southern motorway. We're going into County's Manukau area, and these are the games for the weekend. It's Karaka versus Papakura, Patamahoe versus Bombay, Ardmore Maris versus Mangarewa, and Waimau versus Pukekohe. So looking at those first one, I think Karaka by a bit, and who knows how much more in that. Yeah. And then Patamahoe should be too good for Bombay, and we better back them because Budgie's the Brad Pitt of Patamahoe's coming on a bit later to talk basketball. And then Ardmore Maris versus Mangarewa, that's probably the match of the round there because Mangarewa's much improved. Waimau versus Pukekohe, well, that's easy to call. That's Pukekohe.
Yeah, that's definitely right. 1v2. Ardmore Maris, all of these teams have been beaten this season with Ardmore, Manurewa and Pukekohe only the one loss, and then down to Patamahoe with the two losses and Karaka with two losses. Who would have believed that those two teams after five rounds would be sitting fourth and fifth respectively? I think expect Ardmore Maris to bounce back this week, I think, but boy, Manurewa going very well. Both these teams are capable of scoring a lot of points. Could be an absolute beauty in the sun out there in Ardmore today.
Absolutely. So then we go Auckland Women's Premiers, and the three games there today: Massey Kumu versus Silverdale, Papatoa versus Mangarewa, and College Rifles versus Marist. That first one, it's a little bit of a North Harbour derby, but Massey Kumu, they've actually, from what I'm hearing, they're not that bad a side.
Yeah, good to hear. And if you look at the table, played two, so one winner and a loss. Silverdale, unfortunately, three games. They're certainly not looking too good in the negative channel as well. And I am expecting Massey Kumu at home to be too strong today. I'll do the easier ones first. Although Papatoetoe Manurewa, this is fourth versus fifth, could be an interesting game, this one. But Manurewa, I saw them play Marist earlier in the season. They looked a pretty good side, and they've only played the two games. Taratori with a game in hand. I think Manurewa to bounce back. And of course that final game, College Rifles, remembering Ponce to be top of the table, only team, but they have got a bye this week. So College Rifles at home, Marist. I think I'm going to go for College Rifles.
Absolutely. And then we go to men's premier, so we leave our two teams to the end, and I always have the last say on that, and it's usually predictable.
Of course you do.
So we go Ponsonby versus Manukau, Pakuranga versus Suburbs and College Rifles versus Grammar Tech. Now, Ponsonby versus Manukau. Manukau have been, you know, they've been a bit of a surprise package because everyone said, oh, they're going to struggle, but they haven't.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they looked pretty good in the first 40 minutes against Waitemata last weekend. Their back three, absolutely deadly. If they can set a decent sort of platform against Ponsonby, they'll definitely give Ponsonby a hurry up, although I did see improvement from Ponsonby in their game last week against Pakuranga. I thought that was pretty impressive performance by the Blue and Blacks last week. Big blow for Manukau losing Ben Toe, former Northland hooker, with I believe a serious Achilles injury last weekend. So that's going to be a big loss for them. I think I'm expecting Ponies to bounce back.
Yeah, and of course then we go to Pakuranga Suburbs. I think this will be a lot closer than people expect.
Yeah, once again, you saw both of these two teams coming off a loss from last weekend. You would have seen Suburbs
much improved. They were much improved. They've obviously, they really, really pressed Eden, and I think that they've probably gained some encouragement out of that. Nothing would surprise me, because I think from what I'm hearing is Pakuranga is struggling a little bit this year. But that could be the kiss of death for Suburbs, by the way, if I call it.
Oh, and absolutely. Like I say, you had a good view of those sides. That particular Suburbs side last weekend, and boy, they're possibly going to take a little bit of beating.
I think they will. I think that first loss really gave them, I think it may have been that kick in the bum they need. I think, listen, I'm going to go Pakuranga, but not by much.
Yeah. I think probably a good call at the end of the day. I'll go the same way.
Rifles versus College Rifles versus Grammar Tech or Grammar 500 clubs. Hello to all my friends at the Grammar Rugby Club. How are you going? This one is going to be a close call. Like, we looked in pre-season with Rifles, but, you know, they've sort of, it seems as though they may have dropped off. And I think Grammar Tech, they're still able to bring in Super Rugby players into their squad, and it makes a difference.
Very much so. I did see these two teams in the knockout competition earlier in the year, and the Rifles on that, they were very, very impressive. But they are missing a couple of players. I know that Ken Maxwell has joined the New Zealand Sevens squad. He was also their sort of talisman in the back line and goal kicker. They've also lost Jordan Hutchings, I think, to the New Zealand under-20 side. So there's a couple of players that they're possibly missing at the moment. And just based on that alone, now this game being played at Rifles today, but I think
GTEC
gets the job done.
Absolutely. Well, then we go to our two teams. Well, your mob, Waitemata, they're travelling out to Mount Wellington to to play Marist. Now, Marist have looked very, very good in this competition. And, you know, I'm hoping for the sake of your club that God decides to give it to the right footers instead of the left footers today.
Listen, going to be a heck of a challenge. I know the Waitemata boys took a bit of confidence out of their second half last weekend down at Williams Park, and it's another away game for the Waitemata boys. A couple of little niggly injuries, but like I said, they can take their confidence into this contest against Marist and stay in the fight, take the game deep. Who knows how they go, but I think just based on the home ground advantage and what we know about Marist, I think maybe they get the points. They get the job done today.
And, of course, then we go down to Gribblehurst Park, 2:45. It's Eden versus University. Now, Stephen, I'm going to have to be honest, and I have to be balanced for a change. And you're going to be very, very surprised on what I'm going to say.
Charlie.
We hope that we see intelligent rugby played, and then we hope for a good game, and then the sun will shine on Gribblehurst Park around 4:25 and with another Eden victory. No, I know. Listen. Eden, I'm always going to back Eden. You know that I can't get my eye patch off fast enough. But just on that, I just think, I'm hoping for a win, but this Varsity side, they've been pretty bloody good this year.
Absolutely. I'm having a quick look. Listen, keep an eye on a boy by the name of Eli Odenrein, who will be starting at...
Yeah, that's Lee Odenrein. He's from the Canterbury system.
Yeah, that's Lee Odenrein's boy, Eli. He is an absolute talent in the hooker jersey. Also, Rico Simpson, they got the luxury of bringing Rico Simpson in at first five. Yeah, it's not just looking through just looking through their team list, it's not the... Yeah, it's a pretty good side. Even when you get Uini Fetalagia, who's an outstanding number eight, can't make the side because you've got brother of Rico Simpson, Cruz Simpson, playing number eight. They've also got Hemipal Cunningham, Taranaki loose forward in the side. Tyson Lowry, listen, they've got all the name there, and Kyle Yates. From the Blues development squad also changing. It'll definitely be a challenge for your boys.
I think it will be a challenge, but I'm going to get behind us. We've got a couple of real good young backs. Andrew Nansen, he's been outstanding. And this boy Cookie on the wing, wow, what an excitement machine that guy is. Anyway, Stephen, I hope you have a good weekend and good luck for today, and we will catch up next week.
Absolutely. Listen, all the best to you, yourself and everybody at the Eden Club today. But, of course, everybody around the 09 region, get out and watch some club rugby today. You've got no excuses. Fantastic weather. And I'm pretty sure we'll see some good open rugby.
Yep, support your clubs, guys. Anyway, thanks a lot, Stephen.
No, not a problem at all. All
the
best,
Damon. Cheers, bye. Stephen Harris, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, we're going to play a little bit of music, and then we're going to try and get hold of Joey Green as we talk a bit of rugby league.
It might be nice to smash the state, but it's getting late. Mostly I'm just working for the man. It might be good to tell the boss that I don't give a toss, and to stick his lame ass job, but I'm not sure that I can. Is mostly fine with me. It seems to me the only place to be. Wake up from your beautiful haze. Rise up, smash your beautiful chains. Climb out of your beautiful maze. Rise up, rise up. Climb down from your beautiful. You know you won't make beautiful remains. All that's left is a beautiful hour, and it's ours, ours. I sit here listening at 5.1 when the day is done. I look around at everything and it's all good. Edicts to the lunchroom door, make love, not war. They say just do it, I just did it and it seemed I really could. Just a puny guy on a blue-green ball, got no problem with that thought.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender, and we're going to talk a bit of rugby league. So, just before we do this, we might as well just a big shout out to our sponsors for this segment, WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomato plants happy, all with a water smart tank. No water restrictions, no worries. Different sizes to suit your property. Check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Well, we're going to talk a bit of rugby league, and here to join us, Joey Green. Good morning to you, mate.
Yeah, good morning. I tell you what, it's a pretty good feeling being able to do this live and not having to pre-record it. So it's another great opportunity to talk code that we love.
Mate, I love it too, because I can get into studio a bit later. So. Anyway, Joey, it's great to have you on. Big game this weekend, Warriors versus Eels. The Warriors, a real close one at Henry Stadium. But, you know, this one is one as a crew. Even though we're early in the round, this one is not an easy one. The Eels have one player who can turn the game around, and it's Mitch Moses. But the Warriors, you know, the combination of Boyd and Harris DeVita is beginning to really pay off at the moment. And, of course, Jackson Ford, a bolter for Origin.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at the last five times these two sides have faced off, Parramatta have won, four of those last five, so they're definitely a bit of a bogey team of sorts over recent years for the Warriors. But like you said, the Warriors last week just showed up and tough effort, especially against the Dolphins side, who, as we'll touch on a little bit later, that they're a really classy side. Being able to get it done, just over the Dolphins, it's going to be tough to back it up against a Parramatta side who, like you just touched on, if Mitch Moses is firing, then the rest of the Parramatta side is firing as well. Ronald Volkman, you could probably expect him to have a big game tonight against his old club. Always kind of carries a bit of a chip on your shoulder when you're going up against your ex-club. But anyway, Tanner Boyd and Shanel Harris-DeVita, like you said, they've been combining really well since Luke Metcalf went down with another injury a couple of weeks ago. Possibly could see him back into the side tonight. However, that side looks come the teamless changes at 6 o'clock. Could see a debut for Kalis Fatialofa, another talented junior coming through the Warriors system. He finds his way onto the bench tonight as well. This is going to be a really interesting matchup. And if, like you said, if Mitch Moses turns it on, then Parramatta could cause a bit of trouble. But on the other side, if Tanner Boyd and Shanel Harris-DeVita start firing again, then we could very well expect to see the Warriors walk away at the 2 points.
Absolutely, and of course, then we go to no Thursday night game, but we've had, obviously we had the Anzac weekend, but Friday, two games played, and they were both crackers. Cowboys 28, Bulldogs 12. The Clifford-Dearden combination was superb for the Cowboys last night. Lockie Galvin tried to probably win the game by himself, but that was a really good game, a lot closer than people expected it to be.
Yeah, definitely right. Then I'm not surprised that the Cowboys went down there and took the 2 points away from the Bulldogs. Like they've shown the last 5 weeks, they've won four of their last five. They're a very class side when they want to turn it on. Obviously, we saw a couple of weeks ago they got heavily beaten by Manly. But outside of that, they've had a really good 5 week run. Like you said, Tom Dearden, Jake Clifford finding their combination really well. The Bulldogs, Lockie Gowans, whilst he's not your traditional seven, he's a very talented player, and could easily be a top tier halfback in the next 3 to 5 years. So are the Bulldogs, are they seriously going to be contenders, or like the other, I guess when you look at it on the other side, are they going to be pretenders? They've got the potential to contend come the back end of the season, but games like these are where they need to see the results, and they couldn't get it last night.
And then we moved on this one. The Dolphins 28, the Storm 10. I picked the Dolphins. Herbie Farnsworth is one of the best centres in the game. I don't care what anyone said. The Hammer was outstanding. The Storm, there's been a lot going on at the Storm, especially with obviously the illness to Craig Bellamy. And you know what? I think it's just going to be a really hard year for the Storm.
Yeah, it just goes from bad to worse for the Melbourne Storm. First time in the club's history, they've lost 7 games in a row. Craig Bellamy, I don't know where do you go for the Melbourne Storm. But the Dolphins, like I mentioned earlier, they're a quality side, and when they make it click, they're going to be a team that can challenge for the top 8, whether they find themselves inside their top eight is a completely different topic, but Herbie Farnworth, like you said, he's probably a top two centre, and you're probably not putting him at second either. So if they can continue to ride the form like they showed last night, then they're going to be a very challenging side. But it's, you know, nice to see Jack Bostock back after an ACL injury. It's always happy to see you know, players coming back after such a lengthy layoff.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we move on to the games for the weekend. The Titans versus the Raiders, the Roosters versus the Broncos.
Yeah, two really interesting matchups for Saturday afternoon. The Titans and the Raiders. The Titans favourites at home as well to get up in this one. But the Raiders aren't going to be an easy beat. You know, I'm expecting to see some changes to their lineup leading into kickoff. Like, they've named Jaden Brayley at lock at the moment. I can't see him playing in that starting role. If he does, it will be a bit of a change. Simi Sifangi shifting, you know, closer to the action and sees himself named at a second row spot this afternoon. So whether he has as much of an impact there as he traditionally does at that right centre remains to be seen. But I think the Titans could sneak this one home up in the Gold Coast too. Roosters and the Broncos, this is probably the game of the weekend, to be fair. The Roosters, you know, four wins on the trot. They're playing at home again. They showed last week against the Dragons on Anzac Day just how strong they can be. If the Broncos don't start well, they've got Reece Walsh back. But, you know, if they don't start well against this Chook side, then this could, you know, they could make them pay and make them pay big time. But I'm expecting that game to be a fiery one, the Roosters and the Broncos.
Then we go to the free Sunday games. Knights versus the Rabbitohs, that should be a cracker. Sharks versus West Tigers and Panthers versus Sea Eagles. These three games, they're all hard to call because all of those six teams are in some sort of form.
Yeah, this is probably one of the, you know, the better Sunday set of games that we've seen for recent memory. The Knights and the Rabbitohs, you've got to be excited if you're a Knights fan. You've got Kalen Ponga back, Dylan Lucas is back just in time to for Origin selections over the next couple of weeks. The Rabbitohs are running rampant at the moment. Matt Duffy's found himself playing excellent football since he's come back into the Rabbitohs side. Mitchell doing Latrell things. No doubt it's going to be a packed house at Newcastle on a Sunday afternoon. So who knows, we might be able to see the Newcastle sneak a win home for their faithful. The Sharks and the Tigers, I think if you're a Canella fan, this similar to the Bulldogs, you're probably going to look at this game and it could really determine whether you're going to be a contender or a pretender. You look at the Tigers side, they've got no Api Koroisau, no Jareem Buller, no Kai Pierce-Paul. Is that going to be too much for Benji Marshall's troops to, you know, to get the 2 points this afternoon? Braden Trindle for Cronulla, if he has a big game combining with Nicho Hynes, then I would expect them to walk away with the 2 points at home, especially on a Sunday afternoon if it's good weather. Penrith and Manly, look, I think as much as we'd love to see Manly get 5 wins in a row under Kieran Foran, apart from the slip-up the Penrith Panthers had, you know, a few weeks ago against the Bulldogs, there hasn't really been anyone that's come close to that Penrith side. Luke Garner and Isaiah Papali'i playing some really good football at the moment, filling in. Dylan Edwards was, you know, firing on all cylinders last week. You've got, you know, a pretty handy halfback in Nathan Cleary as well. I don't think anyone's stopping that Penrith side anytime soon, so Penrith, I think, will win big.
Absolutely, and then we move on to the Fox Memorial and Auckland Rugby League. So these are the games for the weekend there, Joey, and it is Bay Ross School versus Papakura, Mount Albert versus Point Chev, Manukau versus Marist Saints, and Otahuhu versus Ponsonby.
Yeah, look, I'll tell you what the best thing about the Fox Memorial reducing to 8 teams is probably the amount of quality games that we're getting in Fox Memorial now. Like, they're really hard to call. We saw Bay Ross School, you know, get a big win over Point Chev last weekend as well. And I imagine if they, you know, got such a big result like that, then playing Papakura at home, you know, that could give them an extra leg to, you know, sneak another upset in. But Papakura, really dominant forward pack as well. They showed how strong they can be against Manukau last weekend. So that's going to be a tough one to call. Mount Albert versus Point Chev, neither side probably got off to the start that they wanted last week. Mount Albert losing a couple of key troops in Buddha Doyle at hooker and Deon Fraser, their halfback. So they've got A couple of pretty handy replacements into their side at the moment, but Point Chev, they just continue to show how strong they can be with the players they've named, and I'm expecting them to be a little bit better after their result last weekend, but I think Mount Albert will just sneak that result at home. Manukau and Marist, probably didn't expect to go down in the way they did against Ponsonby. It was 36-22 at one point, but Marist managed to sneak a couple of tries late. But Ponsonby really showed, they've recruited well over the off-season and had a really strong pre-season block as well. And that showed with how dominant they were over Marist last week. They come up against the Manukau side, who will be gutted, with the result last weekend against Papakura. And especially being able to play this afternoon's match at home, I think Manukau is probably going to be a bit too strong for Marist. Otahuhu and Ponsonby. You look at Ponsonby, they got the 2 points last week. They come up against the defending champions against the Otahuhu Leopards this afternoon. That's going to be a tough matchup, especially with how strong the Leopards still are after their premiership win last year. They've still got a lot of their players returning. Obviously, they've lost Dylan Tavita and Ben Watson Benedict to the Ponsonby Pony. So, I think those two players for Ponsonby will be up for this matchup, but I'm expecting Otahuhu just to be too strong for Ponsonby.
Absolutely. Then we go to the Steel Shanks Women's Premiership. Mount Albert versus Richmond. Otahuhu versus Manukau. Mangere East versus Mangerewa.
Yeah, look, when you take a look at this weekend's matchups, especially after the results we saw last week, a couple of really interesting matchups. We see Mount Albert taking on Richmond. Richmond probably not happy that last weekend they went down to a very young Manukau side, and they come up against Mount Albert this weekend, who took a pretty heavy loss of Manurewa. So both teams will want to be starting to work on what they need to from last week and then hopefully get a better result this week. And I'd expect Mount Albert to get that win at home. Otahuhu taking on Manukau. Manukau's a very young side, like I mentioned last weekend, but it shows that they're not going to be no easy beats with how dominant they were over the Richmond ladies last weekend. But Otahuhu, just a very experienced side. They've got a number of troopers in their team who have been around for years, so I'm expecting them to be show similar form to what they showed last weekend over Mangere East, who this weekend take on Manurewa. Manurewa heavy victors, like I said, over Mount Albert last weekend, 36-14. And Mangere on the other side taking a pretty heavy loss to Otahuhu. So that's not going to be an easy task backing up against a tough matchup for Mangere East. So I'm expecting Manurewa to bring the 2 points back to Mountford Park this afternoon.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, you have a fantastic weekend. Always good having a chat, and we will catch up next Saturday, mate.
Always a pleasure, mate. We'll do it same time, same thing next week.
Absolutely. Same channel, by the way, people. On that note, I'll leave you to it. See you, man.
Cheers, mate.
Okay, that was Joey Green. Fantastic. Anyway, I've got next up, going to talk a bit of basketball with Dale Budge from the Auckland Tuataras.
Listen, Wolof and Nugga, you're listening to Tinka Marley on Keep It Real. This next jam is by Anisha Mystic.
Halili, your song's on!
This new jam, ladies and gentlemen.
You can know the lay of quips and make you bounce with that beat mechanism. We up on the solid of the final sound system.
Showing individually technique, or every second of the party. MULLET, prolifically lacking in the castle, moving your consuming. Initialize that verbal style to mystify your mind. Demonstrate essential element, fundamental rhythms we provide.
Now we're sexual apparatus, necessary for these fellas. Broken English is a pattern when sense begins to shatter.
Movement for your action. Ain't no excuse like you said, put your back in style.
Crowded by the minute, the beat be filling up the room, my body getting to me.
So brothers gotta keep their lines tied tonight, as the sisters are looking fly. It's the place, the super night, what?
Friday night is a
party, people, and
check your frequency.
Ladies,
down, I'll treat the dance floor.
You need
body and soul.
Now vinyl distraction, focus, mental concentration. This is how it becomes a hazard to regulation. Not to mention adapt to situation. Materialize a phone destination. Stand and get a normal dancing with your eyes. Statics and compromise, let you identify.
Tonight, tonight, to let your body unwind. To let loose and eventually let your mind initialize.
Progression of navigation is encapsulated. Let your weight is so
all of your fantasies become reality when they collide. Cause you can't get by the fact that tonight is party night.
Friday night is a scene. Check your frequency.
Hey, hold up, I got a message. Check us out.
Good. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. We're going to talk a bit of basketball next, but before we go any further, this 10:30 slot has been brought to you by Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard, and many unexpected surprises. Cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment, where they will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. With branches nationwide, contact Enterprise .co.nz and find the right people. Anyway, we're going to talk a bit of basketball, and it's great. We haven't spoke to this guy in a long time. He's the GM of the Auckland Tuataras. He's also known as the Padamoe Kid, recently known as the Brad Pitt of Padamoe. My good mate Dale Budge. Morning, Budgie. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Good. Your intros get better every time.
Well, it's just that, you know, I've just became naturally. Somebody said to me when they first heard me on radio, you know, they gave me some great advice. They said, Mike Hoskins, you're not. And I'd have to agree with them. Anyway, mate, I have to say we've had some really good basketball in the National Basketball League. And of course, last night, the Otago Nuggets 99, Manawatu Jets 96. Now, Ethan Rutschbach, wow, it seems as though he's been around forever, but he's not that old.
No, and he's playing great basketball at the moment too. He's collected a few singlets around his career. He's played at a few teams, but found a home down at the Nuggets, and mate, they're off to a flying start. Probably not one of the more fancy teams in the preseason, but they've made a terrific start. They look to be like a really, really good side. Boy Tuatu was with us last year, has gone down there and playing great basketball, like really good, really pleased for boys, a great fella, and hope he has a great season, maybe just cools off a little bit when he plays us.
Yeah, well, you hope so, don't you? You know, you're obviously keeping it very balanced, as you always do, Dale. So good to hear. Hey, we've got a great weekend of games coming up in the NBL. Obviously, we look at the Saturday games, Tauranga 5 versus Franklin Bulls, Nelson Giants versus Taranaki Ears, and, of course, your mob, the Tuataras, are travelling down to the Hawke's Bay to take on the Hawks. This first one, the 5 versus the Bulls. The 5s are much improved this year.
They are. They haven't played well their last couple of starts, though. And you know, I think when we were looking at the rosters in the preseason and trying to identify who the really strong teams are going to be, the 5 were one that we certainly identified as a genuine title contender this year. But they haven't been at their best the last couple of starts. The Bulls were sneaky good. Again, another team that sort of wasn't fancied by a lot of the pundits in the preseason. They were really strong against us on opening night. I think they've got three really, really good imports there. And they're getting that local talent sort of getting healthier and you know, arriving. Carl Robinson's a good get for the Bulls. So, look, I think it's going to be a really interesting game. If the Fi have been where they've been the last couple of games, I think the Bulls can sneak one there. But there's so much talent in that Fi organisation that if they can get it half right, they'll be a force to be reckoned with.
And, of course, then we've got the Nelson Giants versus the Taranaki Ears. Taranaki Ears have always been one of those teams that, when you look at it, they're always there or thereabouts. The Giants, obviously, Phil Jones is part of the coaching squad there. So this one's interesting to call, but, you know, I would say there's not much between these two teams.
No, I think that'll be a good matchup as well, you're right. Ears have got a little bit of help coming when Moores gets here. Yeah, that's going to make them a bit of a force to be reckoned with. They're a sneaky good side there. We don't really know what's happening with Nelson in terms of their imports. There hasn't been a lot of chat about imports arriving. They've got a good nucleus of Kiwi talent there. If they can find some good value for money imports, you know, there's no reason they can't be contenders this year as well. And they had an impressive game last start, knocked over the Saints.
Yeah.
Liam Judd has really found a home at Nelson. He's playing great basketball, one of the best Kiwis around at the moment, and he's coming off a career night. So I think Nelson might be too strong. That's my gut feel. I think Taranaki got off to a good start this year. They're probably waiting on Moore's arrival to really find themselves, but should be a good game, not much in it.
Absolutely, and of course then the Tuataras, they travelled down to the Hawke's Bay Hawks. Hawke's Bay haven't had a win yet, but the Tuatara start, obviously you had a loss last time out against the Saints, but really some good positive basketball coming out of the Tuataras, Budgie.
Yeah, feel pretty good about the roster at the moment. Ironically, I'd say our best performance of the year was the last start loss to the Saints. It was a really high quality game. Saints looked to be a real title contender, and we sort of went bucket for bucket with them until the last couple of minutes and just lost our way a little bit in the last couple of minutes. Didn't react well, got a sort of referee call that probably weren't overly sold on, and then we made what shouldn't have been a decision that would have altered the game. We made it into something that did because we didn't react well and allowed the Saints to go down the other end and pick up a cheap three. And so it's been a bit of a chat, internally about being more focused, taking referees out of the game. It's such a subjective thing, and when a game is on a knife edge, you're not going to get all the calls that you think you deserve. So that's something we've got to address, and so hopefully we see a positive response. And the Hawks, it's a tough one, man. You don't want to go down and play a team that's yet to get a win, because they're a lot better than that record suggests. There's some real talent there, and they've been a bit of a bogey team for us over the years going down to Napier. We haven't had a great run down there. There's a fair bit of focus and intensity, I'm sure, tonight.
And then, of course, Sunday, well, a bit of a South Island derby. The Canterbury Bulls taking on the Otago Nuggets, then the Southland Sharks taking on the Manawatu Jets. You know, the Bulls, they're always there or thereabouts, Budgie, and they're a good team, mate.
Yeah, they have. A couple of years removed from back-to-back titles, the Canterbury Rams, so... they're going to be there again, I imagine. I don't think we've seen them at their best. They picked up a couple of wins early. Had an upset loss to the Bulls in Pukekohe a week ago, which was a bit of a surprise to a lot. We know that they'll be there when it counts at the back end of the season. So, be a good matchup against unbeaten Otago team that are flying, as we've talked about. So, yeah, I think that'll be a good one. So, a weekend of really tight matches, to be fair. I think the Sharks, that's the probably most... one-sided match maybe on paper. The Sharks, who are getting to full strength, and man, they are going to be genuine title contenders this year. I think the Saints and the Sharks, to me, look the two best teams in the comp at the moment. They've settled, they've got off to a slow start because they just didn't have all their players here, but they're slowly one by one arriving and getting better and better every week. The Jets have had a lot of misfortune. Like, on paper, when they put that roster together, that looked like a team that could play finals, but they've just been decimated with injury, horrific luck. The exciting thing for Jets fans is that they'll get the chance to shake it up and bring some players in, and they've got the cap space to do it because there's some long-term injuries there. Dante Richland-Hance, I think, going to play again. One of the American imports, I don't think we're going to see him again, unfortunately, which is really unfortunate, but they have the ability to go and find some other players. There's some whispers floating around, and if they can pull off what they're talking about, the Jets, despite what will probably be quite a slow start, could be relevant by the time we get to the midpoint.
Absolutely. And, of course, the Breakers, they've brought in a new player.
But yeah, DJ Vasilovich, a guy who's accustomed to winning. Spent time with the Sydney Kings and more recently the Adelaide 36ers, co-captain that 36ers side over the last couple of years. A proven winner, guy with a fierce attitude to winning, and... a really, really good piece. One of the most sought-after free agents in the NBL. So you add that to what they've already brought back, Meninga, which was a big call because there was a lot of interest in Sam Meninga. They had to spend some money to get him. And to put that trio together of those two plus Parker Jackson Cartwright, who's made a bit of a home for himself now at the Breakers, they're going to have three of the absolute best players in the league as a core. And you can, put pieces around it, some local talent. I think, we obviously sit back and wait and see what they do from a coaching perspective, and that will determine maybe where the rest of the pieces come from, but some really good signs. Breakers are not mucking around, they are here to contend, and with those three star signings for for next season, they're going to be a team that should find themselves battling it out at the top of the table.
Absolutely, and of course the talk of a new coach coming in. Now, there was talk about Dean Wickerman, but he looks like he's off to Japan. Adam Ford has come in into the calculations.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure what the Breakers need in that respect. It's difficult. I don't have a whole lot to do with them. Obviously, we had a good working relationship, and there's been the odd player that we've talked about collectively and things like that. I don't know where the club's planning on going with it. I thought Judd Flavel might have been the natural successor and perhaps the guy that they thought long-term was going to be their head coach, but he got a really good offer to go to Japan, too good to wait around. I think ideally you'd like to see a Kiwi coach with the Breakers and really understanding that Kiwi core. I'm not sure the options at the moment. Yes, obviously it makes sense. There's plenty of good options on the open market abroad, but is there a New Zealander? I mean, our ex-coach Aaron Young, who's now at the Saints, would be a name that I'd be certainly...
Kicking
the tyres on. Done an apprenticeship at Perth. He spent time in that organisation. They are all about winning out of the Melbourne Storm or the Crusaders of the Aussie NBL. So, he's had two or three years there now. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to look at him. Guys like Mike Fitchett, who's been a long-time Tall Blacks assistant coach, well-respected in our league. Does a great job with Nelson on a pretty tight budget every year. There are some good options from a New Zealand standpoint. My guess is they'll probably go overseas as a head coach, and maybe one of those guys I've just mentioned could potentially be an assistant that ultimately becomes a head coach perhaps a couple of years down the track.
Absolutely. Well, Budgie, it's always great having a chat to you. It's been a while, and it's good luck for tonight for the Tuataras.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I didn't mention Cam Blinn, our head coach, because I don't want the Breakers tapping him on the shoulder at the moment. That's just a quiet one between us.
Yeah, well, don't worry, mate. We don't have ZB type ratings here, so you've got no problem there.
Mate, he's a great coach. He'll be an AMBL star coach one day.
Yeah, well, when you look at it, just on that, Dale, just before we go, you look at some of the coaches that have come from the NZ, through the New Zealand National League, a lot of them have gone on to bigger and better things in the Australian National Basketball League.
Mate, it's a great league, and it's well-respected, deal with the agents quite a bit. They have ex-NBA talent come down here and come down because I've heard that the standard is good, that the lifestyle is great. It's a nice place to come and visit. And, it's a very competitive league. It's a tough league to play in. There's an adjustment for the players coming from overseas because of the way, with the style of play that we have here, the way the referees control it, takes a little bit of getting used to. But it is a well-respected league. And fingers crossed it can continue to grow over the next couple of years. And the future looks pretty bright for the NBL.
Absolutely. Well, Budgie, have a great weekend, mate.
Thanks, mate. You too.
Cheers. Dale Budge on basketball. Next up, we're going to talk a bit of football with the big guy, Seamus Martin. With the
just a fact to the people to the system who knows the constants. Contacted the arch music when I just see once again another stat from the SAVRE headphones set alive from the heat we supply. Hope to Jaha and the myths elevate to the sky. The rise means a slipper never shady on premiere. Go to really never getting invaded to sound. Yeah, this is time for drop beats elevating final conscience. Didn't see it coming to the force fresh modes in the bus. Roll fast, it's true as though echoes through a rap. We need to count the acts, bring them soul clap. Tonight, loose connections, fresh new projections. Innovative creative styles, much more less.
It's on. It's on tonight. Falling in love tonight. It's on. It's on tonight. Falling in love tonight.
It's out of commission. Pay attention. Concentration. Those out of verbal expressions. Under pressure. This compression. The destruction of the nation. Causing radio eruption. Verbal destruction. Music construction. This verbal transmission. That way of life. Verbal expression. Now expression. The music. We're causing hype. MC old over D. Saber heat.
JD.
When the new race. The top favorites. For the beats now. We can't forget about the melodies. Harmonies. Flowing systematically.
Yo, this is how we do it.
A constant domination will affect. More predictable MC. Tonight. Clever race. People got a capability. Disable this negativity. Dropping new components. We're rapping through the industry. Sufficient dynamics. Displaying real satisfactory. Systematic.
automatically alive, pushing through the boundaries.
All we wanna do is build a life to take us higher.
Cause here comes another one, unlike the other ones. Melodic, anabolic, psychotic, and patriotic.
Go let your body flow, let your body flow.
Come on, Bottles, I forget it. Microphone intimidation, impenetrable finesse. Biblical mentality, syndication, style. We fit the battle on the mind, generation.
Ninja.
So what's your type for? The vibe, internalized on semantic image. Of audio systems, you battle. Let bygones be bygones. You know you can't rely on the beat, carry the melody prolifically all night long.
Now it's on to the break of dawn.
Come on.
Egypt style, I lay all night long.
Yeah, it's on. Beats down to a top, so what do you expect? Drums, contenders, wings, and short-lived ones. We rock this section. Complex and flow, like saber tracks and active. Over the mic, Beastie Boys, intergalactic.
It's on, it's on tonight. It's on, it's on tonight.
Okay, everyone. Well, we're having some problems getting through to Seamus Martin. So what I'm going to try and do is play a bit of music, try and, sadly, and unfortunately, obviously this is unlike my old mate Seamus, so what I am going to try and do is play a bit of music, and hopefully we have Seamus on the other side. If not, you're going to have to put up with me. Apologies, people. That's just the way live radio is. So give us a minute.
Singing stormy weather at 57 Mount Pleasant Street. Well, it's the same room, but everything's different. You can find the sleep, but not the dream. Things ain't cooking in my kitchen. Strange affliction wash over.
Okay, guys, sadly, I can't seem to raise Seamus, unfortunately, and this is unlike Seamus. I hope everything's right. So we're just going to run through the weekend of football that's coming up here, and not only in New Zealand, and also across the world. So we're going to kick it off. Obviously, big games this weekend in the A-League. Obviously, knockout time for Auckland FC versus Melbourne City. It is do or die. Win here, you're probably going to go to Adelaide. But the biggest thing is Auckland FC, they haven't been on form. They've sort of jumped off a bit. I hope for an Auckland FC win, but Melbourne City are one of these bogey teams. I think that I'm going to pick a Melbourne City victory. I'm not going to be popular with this. And, of course, in the Women's A-League historic semi-finals, one of two in a semi-finals playoff for Brisbane Roar versus the Wellington Phoenix Women. The Wellington Phoenix Women have been a revelation in this competition. They have played fantastic football. And I can tell you something, Bev Ball is working. Don't be surprised if New Zealand football is monitoring what Bev Priestman is doing with this women's Phoenix side. I'm going to call this a draw, and hopefully for the Phoenix to arrive back in Wellington, have the home advantage and go to their first A-League final. We're going to go to Northern League. Now, the Northern League games for this week are... In the men's, East Coast Bays versus Auckland FC Reserves. Tauranga versus Auckland United. Bay Olympic versus Auckland City. Fencibles versus East Coast Bays. Manukau United versus Birkenhead. And Melville, Seamus's team, versus Western Springs. So, I'm picking a win for East Coast Bays and Auckland United, even though they're travelling to Tauranga. Auckland City to beat Bay Olympic. Eastern Suburbs to beat Fencibles. Birkenhead to beat Manukau. Melville and Western Springs will be a draw. And the Women's Northern League, Auckland United versus Ellerslie. Tomorrow the games are Melville versus Eastern Suburbs and Tauranga Moana versus Fencibles. So I think Auckland United just too strong. I'm actually going to pick Melville to actually beat Eastern Suburbs, and I'm picking Fencibles to win there. In the EPL, and I'll just go through this right now, Leeds have secured themselves back in Premier League for another season, and it's a good 3-1 win over Burnley. Look pretty good. Now, these are the games for the weekend. So, anyone, especially in this first one, I am going to pick the results, and we're going to see if I can do better than Seamus, okay? So, Brentford versus West Ham, Wolves versus Sunderland, Newcastle versus Brighton. Well, Brentford versus West Ham. I'm sorry, West Ham fans. I'm going to go for a Brentford win. Sunderland versus Wolves. Well, I think Sunderland's chances of getting European football are pretty much gone. But I'm going to sit on the fence, and I'm going to go for a draw here. Newcastle versus Brighton. Now, Eddie Howe under a lot of pressure. Brighton are chasing European aspirations. I'm going to go for a Brighton victory. Then we go to the last game of the Sunday morning, and that is Arsenal versus Fulham. Now, Arsenal really need this win, and I'm actually backing them to get the 3 points to keep this title race alive. Sunday we have 3 games, and I know why Seamus hasn't come on here. We've got one important game. Anyway, so AFC Bournemouth, Big Bill, Sugar Daddy's team, take on Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace really concentrating on Europe at the moment. It's obviously a good win for them. Against Shakhtar Donetsk, and so they're probably not far from making a final of the Europa Conference League. Bournemouth chasing European aspirations. I'm going to go for a Bournemouth victory here. The one I'm waiting for now, and I hope some of you Liverpool fans are listening, and I really hope that you have a dour trip down into Manchester, and I'm picking a United victory. So on that one, Villa versus Spurs. Well, Villa will be really not happy after that loss in the Europa League. So I think they're going to take it out on Spurs. So I'm picking a win there. Tuesday. This becomes a very, very interesting Tuesday. Chelsea versus Nottingham Forest. Great to see Chris Wood back on the score sheet. And it was a fantastic result for Nottingham Forest. I'm picking a draw between them and Chelsea. I just feel Chelsea have been really quite disappointing this season, and have not really proved what has actually been happening. Hasn't proved to see what's happening. Now this one, Everton versus Manchester City, and I have to say that that one there should be a Manchester City win on paper. But as we just said, it is pretty hard to call on that one. And when I look at it, you know, I would prefer if Arsenal won this. And this is from a personally selfish point, because I'm sick and tired of Manchester City winning, even though I haven't got a lot of love for you Arsenal fans. In fact, I've only got love for one team, and it's Manchester United, maybe Nottingham Forest at that. But I suspect that I'm going to pick a draw in this. Everyone's picking a Manchester City win. I think Everton have really had a very, very good season. I think David Moyes has done a wonderful job, and I believe what will happen is this will be a draw. Interesting times coming up in the championship. And as we go to the last round, there is a number of games. This is what the table looks like. Obviously, Coventry, they're already promoted to the Premier League, but we have three teams contesting that second spot. Ipswich on 81, Millwall, who has Max Crocombe in the squad, on 80, and Middlesbrough on 79. In the playoff places, Southampton, they're fairly close at 77, but you have Wrexham on 70, Hull on 70, and Derby County on 69. So looking at some of the crucial matches in the championship, and I'll just go through that right now. So there is some crucial matches, and the ones to keep an eye out for will be Hull will be playing Norwich, Derby will be playing Sheffield United, Wrexham versus Middlesbrough, and then of course we've got Millwall versus Oxford United and Ipswich versus QPR. Well, I am actually going to call it. I think on those games, I'm actually picking a Hull to beat Norwich. I'm picking Derby to draw against Sheffield United. I'm actually picking Middlesbrough to beat Wrexham. I think the fairy tale is over. I don't think they make playoffs. Millwall to be too good against Oxford, and I think this one is definitely a draw between Ipswich and QPR. So that's what the interest is going to be in there. Also, when we're also talking a bit about football, it looks as though Iran will be coming in, will be at the World Cup according to FIFA, so we hope for that. So any interest in football, and also in Scotland, well, we might as well have a quick look at Scotland as I'm just talking. And of course, that Scottish competition has been fantastic, and there's a real tight five. So in the top six, these are the games for the weekend. The bottom six don't really count because it's about relegation, but these are your games for the weekend, and there is some absolute crackers on at the weekend. Obviously, Falkirk versus Motherwell, Elijah Just team. So Elijah Just has been nominated for the Scottish Premiership Player of the Year. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. We're also looking Hibs versus Celtic and Hearts versus Rangers. Now, if you look at the table there, it's Hearts on 73, Celtic on 70 and Rangers on 69. Now, Motherwell are on 57. I think they're more or less safe of getting some European football wherever Elijah Just does go to. So this is what I'm going to pick in those games. I think Motherwell beat Falkirk. I believe that the Hibs-Celtic match is going to be a draw, and I believe Hearts will beat Rangers, and that more or less puts them not far from maybe picking up an impossible dream of a Scottish Premiership. Anyway, anyone that is still awake and is still there, they will no longer have to hear from me, because I'm having a break, because usually this is why I have guests on, because God's sake, nobody wants to listen to me ramble on, rant on, talk rubbish. You know, I think you want to listen to the experts. So I will go for a break, and hopefully I haven't been cursed again, because I've got to get Margie Fossey on the other line talking a bit of ANZ netball. So just give me a minute there. So just give me a second.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise and put up a fucking lie. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You pay a paradise and put up a fucking lie. It took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be in paradise, put up a fucking lie. And now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be in paradise, put up a fucking lie. Why not they pay paradise to put up
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and I have to say, and apologies for the earlier segment. Unfortunately, we weren't able to raise Seamus Martin, so I hope everything's okay. So those that had to put up with my droning monotone voice, I hope that you're still awake, because we're going to talk a bit of netball here to join in this ANZ Championship. Well, the tactics are leading, and which I can see is quite a close competition here. Here to join us is an outstanding netball player, an outstanding silver fern, Margie Foster. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you going? How's everything going?
Oh, really good. Actually in Wellington, and just went to the Boney M concert last night. So we stayed at the same hotel that the Crusaders were at,
yeah.
And I see that they lost to the Hurricanes.
Well, I was just going to say now, the Boney M, you're probably my vintage, which is mid-40s, of course. So, yeah, we do remember Boney M. We do remember Boney M, but it must have been a good concert. Anyway, let's talk about this competition. Well, the tactics are leading, and at the beginning of the season, Margie, no one really gave the tactics much of a hope, but they've really proven that while you can lose a number of top players, you still have that depth and you still have that fight back.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's it comes down to really good coaching. And I love the style of Donald Wilkins, you know, as a coach, and is very demanding, but in a real positive manner, and bringing out the best in her young athletes as well as the oldies.
And when you look at it, like this competition, it's close enough, but you can probably see there is a gap. So you look at the Bay of Plenty, Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic, and then you go up, you're probably out of those teams. There's been, last week there were a few upsets, obviously the Steel beating the Mystic, but this weekend, it is very, very interesting, some of the games. Obviously the first one we're going to be looking at is going to be 4 p.m. and here in Auckland, and it's going to be the Mystics versus the Tactics.
That will be a really good game, especially the Mystics coming off a loss, and the Tactics, you know, pushing through securing a win. So it'll be who is the most hungry for it, and I'm probably thinking that the Mystics are going to try and get up for this win against the, you know, like the top of the table Tactics.
Yeah, and I think this one's a real test on it. I know we're only in round four, Margie, but the simple reason is that we're beginning to see some of the top contenders, and then we go later on down to Invercargill. Well, the Southern Steel, and I think they have been the team many people have spoken to potentially be the winners of this competition. They're taking on the Central Pulse. I feel the Steel have probably got too many guns for the Pulse at this stage.
Yeah, so the Steel, you know, they played the Tactics to start with in round one, and was kind of like, they lost, and you sort of thought, they weren't going to be there or thereabouts. But looking at how they've been producing and they've been consistent, I think that they earlier done from a goal shoot perspective is just absolutely outstanding. You're looking at her high retention, her level of just the way she is. I think it's pretty cool. And then with Georgia Heffernan out the front of her, and Kimmy Orapoi running the show in the midcourt, and, you know, Kara Stice, who's one of those exciting defenders coming through, you know, hopefully she pushes for a silver fern for a Commonwealth Games slot.
Absolutely, and of course then Sunday, the Stars versus the Magic. Now, Maya Wilson going to the Stars has made a real difference to that, and I think the Stars look really quite, I think, you know, they've been spoken up along with the Mystics, along with the Tactics, along with the Steel, but Bay of Plenty Magic, I feel sorry for them, because I think they're just really struggling in this competition, Margie.
Yeah, I don't know why. Like, you know, in regards to, they've got really good coaching up that way, and it just seems like they're just not really connecting in. It's too many, it's probably the mid-court, too many errors, not enough glue from defence to the shooting end. Yep. You have a really experienced, dynamic thing. If you look at the teams that are doing well, it's the mid-court that's really, you know, really experienced and paving the way, bringing that good energy.
Absolutely, and of course, then of course, you know, we also look at, obviously, the we're coming up to the Commonwealth Games in the middle of the year, and of course, you know, we've got preparation for the Silver Ferns as they go into this Commonwealth Games. Now, I was just reading an article, like, you tend to actually look at netball, and in the past you'd usually pick Australia, New Zealand, England, Jamaica, but South Africa has made some really good progress. And but when I look at it, like Dame Nolene, Bronte Arkley, she's been appointed as assistant coach. The preparation, and they're going to take on Scotland, but obviously, majority of those players are going to come from the Australian competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Those players that have consistently playing week in, week out in the tougher competition, it's going to hold us in great stead. And then, you know, like picking the best of what we've got here. which is a really good balance, because, you know, you'd think there's only, what, maybe six, are there six players over there that are available for New Zealand?
I think just over six. I think it's six to eight by the sounds of it, Margie.
So, you know, you can take two train, like, you know, you've got two non-travelling reserves, so 14. So, like, you know, being able to pick, select the top of our competition as well to complement it. It's really exciting for us. I reckon we can get the gold in the Comm Games.
Do you know what? You know what, about around this time last year, with all that was going on in New Zealand netball, and I know that, you know, I was pretty outspoken, as you know, my mate Lee Piper, he was very outspoken. I know that you're outspoken. Netball didn't really seem to be in a good spot, but you can actually see there, it's a bit more positive now around the game.
Yeah, it certainly is, because it comes down to the players as well. But we have got some really awesome athletes coming through, and I think that's what holds us in good stead. And I also think even at grassroots level, like, you know, I think in Canterbury, where, like, our motivation is netball, is honestly that, you know, we have waiting lists to get in for growing the love of the game for young netballers. And I think we're okay if we can just steady, get the ship really firing with a great CEO and, you know, like a really good board, that a visionary that can really just keep netball as the number one woman, you know, like sport for young females in New Zealand. We're doing a good job. So we need to make sure that we are.
Yeah, and I think they've made some changes to the board of Netball New Zealand. You know, there's a new board chair coming in, which I think it is positive. Hopefully, they'll be able to announce. Jane Patterson has been standing in as the CEO. Obviously, she's got to take it on. Alistair Carruthers' appointment. We hope that netball is heading in the right direction, and we really hope that it is, because, let's be quite frank here, that Australian competition is just, at the moment, it is a big gulf between that and our ANZ Premiership.
Yeah, it certainly is. But, you know, like, I think it's just the intensity that's being played over there, and obviously being around superior athletes within yourself, like, you know, of course you're going to be better, aren't you, when you're surrounded by top athletes. So, you know, it's... I think, you know, somehow ensuring that we are getting back into that Australian League, whether there's two franchises that we can actually tap into. I'm not sure what the future, I mean, what that looks like. So hopefully the new CEO will be visionary enough and will be inspirational, like what Liz Ellis is over in Australia for Australia netball.
And I think the big thing that Liz Ellis has, she has that IP, she has that knowledge of the game.
Oh, absolutely, and that's where, you know, that's gold. So, like, having somebody that can come in that has a netball head, bit of a netball brain as well, but just who we all look up to, who we aspire to, who... Like, you know, you want to be able to hang on every word that the CEOs, you know, they're the conductors.
They're the leaders.
They're going to make it. Yeah, they're the leaders. You've got to make them flippin' inspirational.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest thing is that, you know, especially for, you know, not only for our current players, but for future players, future stakeholders in the game, like, when you look at it, you know, leadership is somebody who can actually, who can talk the talk, but can also walk the walk. And that's what I think New Zealand netball needs at this time.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And even to the likes of a Lee Piper, he should be on the board.
Yeah, well, Lee Piper, you know, he's struggling at the moment.
He has been on the board, yeah.
Yeah, oh, no, and I'd agree. I think a lot of people would agree, you know, much as I give Pipes a hard time on air, I've got a lot of respect for him. Please don't pass
that
on.
What he did with the Southern Steel down in the cut, when they were the Sting as well, he is a go-getter.
Oh, he is, but one thing about it, Lee's passionate about the game and likes to see the game in a good spot. Even though I give him a very, very hard time and nicknamed him the Mouth of the South, because he is the Mouth of the South, but when I look at it, and of course the poor, so I'm going to call him up in a few minutes, he's probably listening to Fiji and cursing me as we speak right now, Margie, because he gets all the hard jobs. But he's always available, whether he's in Hawaii, whether he's on the Gold Coast or whether he's in Fiji, you know, he's...
Absolutely. Yeah, Sounds like me, actually.
Yeah,
it does. Always available for a good yarn and, you know, for the good of the game. And, you know, that's the key thing,
yeah,
I think, in life as well. So,
and
you know,
I think the other thing, too, it's a bit of fun, too. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
Well, Margie, I've really enjoyed it. I hope you didn't get to sustain any injuries at the Boney M concert. And we hope we could have that chat again.
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers. Thank you very, very much, Margie. That was Margie Fox Foster, former Silver Fern. So next up, we've got Piper and Lashes as we do the panel.
Teenage boasts on the high precision ghosts, and they come around the track to haunt me. When she looks at me and laughs, I remind her of the fact I'm the king of rock and roll completely. Up from Sweet Shoes, my baby blues.
Hot dog, hot dog, jumping fog, Albuquerque. Hot dog, jumping fog, Albuquerque.
Dream helps you forget you were never danced a step, you were never fleet of foot. Hippie, all the pathos you can keep for the children in the street, for the vision I've had, yes, sweet thing. New broom, this room, sweet cleaner.
Hot dog, jumping fog, Albuquerque. Hot dog, jumping fog, Albuquerque.
Say that boy.
Hot cooking dandy.
Finger fine, cut a fine, finger fine, oh yeah.
Long-legged candy.
Finger fine, cut a fine, finger fine, oh yeah, yeah. Now my rhythm ain't so hot, but it's the only friend I've got. I'm the king of rock and roll completely. All the pretty birds have flown. Now I'm dancing on my own. I'm the king of rock and roll completely. Up from Sweet Shoes, my baby blues.
Jumping fog, Albuquerque. Hot dog, jumping fog, Albuquerque.
Now you're lonesome.
Hot
it goodbye, can I find it goodbye, oh yeah.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend, and now just on some things I fell behind in my ads, so I'm gonna get a kick up the backside. So I'll get onto this right now. If you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on the Auckland property market, give Robert Thompson a call from Barford and Thompson in Epsom Branch. Robert has a brilliant reputation within the real estate age and within the industry, and will get the best result whether you're selling, provide you the best information and the best result when you're buying, and will give you good advice to get on this Auckland property market. Robert's number is 021-737-949, or you can email him r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. And of course, then we go to the horse and trap. We just go to the Horse and Trap, and now that is your local in Mount Eden. It has daily drinks and food specials. It has one of the best pub quizzes, one of the best Sunday roasts in town. So give the Horse and Trap a call. Their number is 09630-3055, and they're based at 3 Enfield Street in Mount Eden, or you can email them info@thehorseandtrap.co.nz. Anyway, we might as well get into it. Usually trying to get a panellist is hard. They're either a senator in Fiji or they're also out on a date. Morning, Lee Piper, the Mouth of the South.
Hello.
And, of course, Lashes, Sam Lashes, Casey. How are you, Lashes?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Piggy. How are you?
Oh, listen, mate, I'm good now. I know that you're a very busy man lately. The rumour is going round town, but I'd rather not divulge this at this stage. So, yeah. Hey, listen, we might as well rip into it. Obviously, we've got a big round of Super Rugby coming up. Last week, fantastic. The Super Round in Christchurch. But, of course, last night we had a great game. The Hurricanes coming through against the Crusaders. Lester Fayanunuku is an open side flanker, the hybrid rugby player, but of course, Piper, you are there, and you're there in Fiji following the Highlanders, and you're on your lonesome, aren't you?
I'm not all to make on my lonesome, but do you mean if my loving wife is with me? No.
She's
not. Oh. Following the Highlanders, we've had to put 3 days before and 4 days afterwards, so...
Oh, you
sort of
poor
inconvenient
bugger.
Head that way today. But I tell you what it is, it's hot, and that is going to be a problem for the Highlanders, I think, this afternoon. It's already up to 30 degrees. It was 33 yesterday, so unless a little bit of cloud cover comes over, it's going to just...
Absolutely, and of course then again, when you looked at last night's game, what was your thoughts on that, or were you probably out not even watching it?
No, I had a look at that. I thought the Hurricanes pretty much had that game under control, and while the Crusaders scored late, I just think they looked the best team. I think the Crusaders without Will Jordan are just at another level, like with him or without him, and you know, they have a couple of key injuries and they suddenly come back to the pack pretty quick. And so I just thought it was a clinical performance from the Hurricanes, and you know, it's going to be pretty tight at the top, but for me, the Hurricanes still alongside the Chiefs look the two teams to beat.
Absolutely. And anyway, and when we look at Lashes, your thoughts on last night's game if you got a chance to watch it?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, to be honest, Piggy. I thought, after the wash-up of that, I think the Crusaders won't be too disappointed. I think every time they nigh on entered the 22 of the Hurricanes, they came away with points. Some of the defence of the Hurricanes will be pulled out on Monday and really looked at with a microscope, because all too easy for championship winning side, which is their goal, for giving away just soft tries like that. So that was very disappointing from their part. But ball in hand, look, I mean, I guess they just have that mentality. If you score 30, we'll score 31. The strike they have and the opportunities they create is there for all to see, and they're a very tough side to shut down. But I thought all in all, a great free-flowing game of rugby, but the opening 20 minutes takes a little bit to be desired, I think. The Fox kicking stuff.
Don't get me started.
I'm just a little bit surprised how, you know, we're supposedly so innovative in this part of the world, Piggy, but yet our coaches, whose full-time jobs are to come up with attack strategies, seemingly just continue to go to a box kick and almost hope more than anything.
It is the most, that has been the biggest blight on our game, has been box kicking. Too much of it. Too bloody much of it, to be honest with you. Guys, I don't know how you feel about it. I know, Piper, you'd agree with me on that.
Yeah, and I think that, watch for that this afternoon. I'd say the Highlanders are going to continue to do lots of aimless kicking. And we saw it last week in their performance against Moana Pacifica. They're just for no reason deciding to kick it down and back their defence. Well, what I can tell you this afternoon, if you do that against this Fijian with the strike power they've got at home in front of a big crowd in a new stadium, they'll kill you. So I think that they're going to have to be precision from Fakatawa at the base, and they're going to have to find some grass and really try to put the pressure on. But they too are probably, I think they're probably the side that's kicked it away the most, and they just seem obsessed with it. So, you know, it's going to be hard to see them going away from that, which, you know, given their back line, it's, they've got some strike power there. I know Caleb Tangatau's not playing today, but Jonah Lowe's been pretty good on the right wing. Jonah Nareki's back. They've got Kavitaba Nawai. Jacob is back at the back. So they've got enough firepower. I don't know why they continue looking to kick it away, but we'll see it today.
Yeah, well, you've also got that young fella, Tito Harris. Now, he is sensational, mate. Hey, Lashes, there's been talk about an Anzac test coming next year as a preview for the World Cup. And they're it's going to be in the middle of the Super Rugby competition. They're talking about Perth. What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, that sounds like it'll be a green light. But I know the board meets for an AGM this week coming, so you expect it to be signed off then, and I think it can only be a good thing. We know Super Rugby forms straight out of the gates that are matter. Dave Rennie will be needing to pick a side what, after about 6 or 7 rounds of Super Rugby. So I think it'll create storylines, it'll create interest right from round one. And I think it's a great way to honour Anzac Day, to be quite honest with you. And I'd go one step further. My colleague Guy Havelt raised a pretty good point, I thought, the wee idea that netball, league, rugby union, whatever else you can think of, let's have an Australian versus New Zealand weekend and support an Anzac sporting festival and really, you know, celebrate what is a very, very important day in both countries' history.
Yeah, I think there's always been talk of, you know, possibly in rugby league of bringing the Anzac test back, but I think the NRL has too much sway there. Just your thoughts on that, Piper?
I couldn't agree more. I think that it'll be a brilliant opportunity. And, you know, talking about Super Rounds and Super Rugby, and we're talking about a government that's, you know, really shown the green light, particularly in Auckland, to opening up the country for more events. So this, to me, would be a no-brainer. You could hold it in one city or you could hold it in multiple cities. But, yeah, if you got league and netball and rugby, even soccer together, you know, we've got plenty of good players in the A-League. Not enough you get a Chris Wood back, but, you know, at that time of the year, you might, because they just got finished in April, that are coming into the finals now, so maybe that wouldn't work. But again, any sporting, even a one-day cricket international at the same time, I don't know, but just get them all playing, I reckon that'd be a brilliant initiative.
Yeah, just my thoughts on this, guys. When I look at it, yeah, I'm for it, but I cannot see the NRL. This is just my version. I'm Lashes, you may agree or disagree with me, but the NRL are pretty powerful when it comes to rugby league, and basically international rugby league is on the back burner. But I don't know. I thought the weekend, the Anzac weekend, having the rugby league and the AFL in Australia and the rugby union in New Zealand worked. I don't know what you think, Lashes.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the first point you raise is a very good one. The NRL solely want the cash cow prevail. That is their domestic competition and state of origin. So anything outside of that is very much an afterthought. But I think if other sports got on board first and rugby league came under pressure to follow suit and really add to the weekend, then I think they'd almost be forced to. Who knows what the landscape of the NRL will be in the future with all this expansion. They're talking about going right down to a 20-round competition if it does go to 20 teams and a conference-type system. And so who knows? It's an ever-changing landscape, but probably in its current form, no. I don't think the NRL would be keen on an Anzac test due to the interruption it will cause to the regular season schedule.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the big thing. Of course, when we talk about Auckland now, obviously, Lashes, we had the big Super Round. Now, Auckland, are they going to have a bid to bring the Super Round to Auckland? I'm going to be honest with you. The only time people come up to Auckland, especially to Eden Park, which I've been a supporter of, and I know Lee Piper's going to give me a hard time, is A, is to watch the Warriors play, is to go to Ellerslie to watch the sports racing. Only time they go to Eden Park is to for a concert. I don't believe this will work. I'm going to be offside with the Mayor of Auckland, Wayne Brown, who's my mate. He's not going to be happy with me, but I think leave the Super Anne in Christchurch as it is. Lashes.
I'm a massive believer in that. I think, well, the first thing, I think Eden Park also filled out for all these tests, not just concerts as well.
Oh, yeah,
and if the boys were a better side, playoff football, like they did a few years ago, they'd fill the place out too. But, look, to be honest with you, Magic Round and the NRL works because it's in Brisbane. And what's in Brisbane? Well, you've got Suncorp Stadium right on the bank of Caxton Street. And that atmosphere that creates, the party atmosphere all weekend, not just in the Suncorp Stadium, but also in the surroundings, is just second to none. And I don't think it can happen anywhere else in Australia. And I think Christchurch, the location of that new stadium, is the closest thing we have to, Suncorp Stadium and Caxton Street type setup.
Yeah, and you're right, because the simple reason is it's right in the city, and I believe some of the reports coming back, it's a lot good. A few issues they do have there, but just in your thoughts, Piper, when I look at it, like Auckland trying to get the Super Round to Auckland, I don't think it's not going to work. Leave it as it is. And in fact, what Auckland should be doing and what New Zealand should be doing is we should be going to somewhere like, if not Super, I'd be going to the NRL and just have a New Zealand round.
Well, I think a couple of things. I think a couple of things on this. I think one, the Super Round worked in Christchurch for all the reasons that you guys have just outlined. It also worked because they opened their brand new stadium, and you know that two flies playing tiddlywinks in the middle of that stadium would have got a crowd because it's the new toy in town. Exactly the same as when Forsyth Bar opened. We had I think they opened it with a pre-season Phoenix game, and everybody turned up. So you've got to build on that. And I think, look, I don't want to put negativity on it, but I think it'll go well in Christchurch for a couple more years, and then it will probably come to the end of its run. Because what you will get is a great crowd watching the Crusaders game, whatever that game is. I'm not sure you get a great crowd watching the Highlanders play Moana or the Chiefs playing Fiji. Because once the stadium's like a brand new house, once you've lived in it for a while, it just becomes a house, and away you go. And they'll end up in that. So brilliant stadium, fantastic, and it's really close. And the hospitality evidently was outstanding. Around the place, pretty easy to get beers, although there was lots of queues. So there was a bit of, teething problems as you want. But at the moment, they're the new kid in town, and I think just leave it there for the next 3 years. And I think Eden Park just shooting one across the bow there, because I think they know that what kind of crowd would they get to some of those games. I think they would struggle, even if the Blues played, you remember, it's a Super Round where you're playing the Australian team. So it's not like the Blues playing the Crusaders, which would drag a game, or the Chiefs playing the Hurricanes. It's you're playing the Australian teams and the others. So they're the only true places, or Wellington, that could host it. Because you've got to, I noticed it even going on about it this week, but the thing that they've got to understand is you've got 11 teams, you've got to house 12 teams
and
at,
fans,
say,
and
40
fans.
Of teams, so there's 500 plus fans. So you've got to be a city that can handle that kind of accommodation. And really, to me, it's your two big cities of Christchurch or Auckland. You're only two players, and for me, it's Christchurch by the length of the straight.
Yeah, and I'd have to agree on that. And probably the idea I just said, if anything, like for New Zealand as a country, and of course, I've just got to say this right now, is that, the government's done well, and they're bringing things to the country. They're bringing major sporting events. This is what we need for the economy to really get it up. But, Eden Park has got State of Origin next year. But I really think, and I don't know what you think, Lee, I think that New Zealand as a country and New Zealand Rugby League and the Warriors have to go to the NRL and say, can we have a New Zealand round of the NRL? So you can play majority games either at Eden Park or at Go Media. You can possibly play a game at Henry Stadium, a game in Christchurch, and maybe even a game in Dunedin.
Well, that may work, but I think, as we've already talked about, the NRL beats their own drums. Peter Vallandis will decide or not decide. That's pretty much what would happen. The only way for that would be if they saw a real promotion of the game needed in New Zealand. But at the moment, the Warriors are flying along, and all of their reports that I read out of Australia and when I spent time in Australia, their expansion is not including a second New Zealand team. Their expansion is more in the
Queensland, yeah.
In the Queensland area, they see development there. So they're not really thinking New Zealand's high on the agenda. So it would be a big play, I think, for them to then go, okay, well, we'll do a magic round, if you like, in New Zealand. So, you know, they're about developing of the game. I think the Warriors are a really important part of NRL, and I think, you know, everyone's happy with where they're at. They're going well, and they're playing well, and they get massive crowds to go media, and they had a huge crowd last week at Henry Stadium, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're gonna go, okay, well, let's move a magic round to New Zealand.
Well, Lashes, do you agree with Piper as old Piggy lost the plot again?
Yeah, no, I mean, magic round is an absolute success at Suncorp Stadium, so it's the old adage, Piggy, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. I mean, I think...
Yeah, but I'm not talking... Yeah, but I better correct myself. I am not talking about moving magic round away from Suncorp. No way. No way. I'm talking about a New Zealand Pacific round.
Oh, okay.
Why would they do that?
Well...
Yeah, like...
Yeah, well, the simple reason is, what has New Zealand done for the rugby league in Australia? They've brought competition, they've given them 5 million viewers, they've basically promoted the game. Rugby league in this country, and I know rugby's our national sport, but at the end of the day, it's rugby league is having a big hold in this country. Sorry, Lashes, I'll let you continue. I was just ranting on. Didn't have my wheat bix.
No, you're right, Piggy. But, I mean, it'll be a difficult, I guess, concept, in my opinion, to get past the other clubs, because they already have to take, you know, a game to Magic Round. You know, you want to alienate 16 other clubs by making them come over to New Zealand as well and play another game. I think we probably... drawing a long bow there when it comes to that. What I would like to see potentially is, you know, I know the Warriors aren't keen to look to shift out of Mount Smart, so
no.
I think there's probably a real appetite to, you know, for other stadiums, like which Lee is involved in. I don't know if this is a possibility, and he might have already tried, but
yeah.
Go and pitch, you know, a home game to one of, you know, the other 16 NRL clubs and say, hey, why don't you bring a home game here? And even if that is, you know, the Bulldogs versus the Cowboys or the Dolphins versus Storm like last night. Now, whatever it may be, I'm sure you'll still get a great crowd under the roof in Dunedin.
I think you would too, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely agree with you, Lashes. And I think, Lee, you've probably looked into this.
Oh, yeah, and it's been done at Forsyth Bar before. Ray Lancaster was the CEO of Canterbury Banks the Bulldogs. They bought their home game against the Warriors. But the tricky part is, and if you look at Dunedin at the moment, because they've got that connection to the Gold Coast, the obvious teams would be the Broncos and the Titans. But when you talk to the Titans, their best home ground, bar none, is when they play the Warriors at home.
Mm.
So if you were saying the Titans might be playing, say, I don't know, Melbourne Storm, they might bring that game across because they might go, okay, well, for the novelty factor, we might get, you know, more people. But look, I think everybody's, and I'm in this game now, but everyone's after content. And so there are lots of innovative ways to do it. I just think at the moment, I think the NRL's expansion plans and where they're looking to put their money and resources is potentially not with New Zealand. Because, look, if the Warriors fell over tomorrow, would it be sad for Australian rugby league?
No.
Yes. Would they carry on? 100%.
Yeah, of course they would. And, in fact, when the Warriors went the flavour of the month, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 15, 16 years ago, when the Warriors were dog poop, there was even calls to get rid of them. But, anyway, we're speaking about the Warriors. I tell you something, Ivan, that was a cracking game at Henry Stadium. And I'm going to say this right now, they've got a big one against the Eels. I look at this Warriors side, mate, and I just see there's a lot of talent, but the Eels, I don't know. This one is hard. I don't know whether you're going to be watching it, Piper, in Fiji.
No, probably not. I'll throw the Lashes on this one, and I'll just finish eating a piece of toast.
Oh, okay. That's nice. You just have your breakfast, Piper.
No, he's on island time over there, and good on him too. But look, to be honest, Biggie, I think the Warriors probably should have lost last weekend's game against the Dolphins. I think they were lucky to win that. It was a bit of a bludger of a match, especially in that second half. And they go on the bye after this week. So, look, you'd want to absolutely go into this with another 2 points. And the year was one of the bottom four teams in the competition. But if the Warriors have any form of top four aspirations, they've got to be putting this Eels side away. But, yeah, I mean, an Eels ambush wouldn't surprise me all the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, Mitch Moses, he's one of the best. He's one of the best number sevens in the game. Lee, are you still eating your piece of toast?
I've finished it now.
Oh, thanks. Anyway, what was it? Auckland FC. I'm going to let Lashes, because I'll let you have another piece of toast, Pipes. But Lashes, obviously there'll be probably 20,000 at Go Media today for the Auckland FC versus Melbourne City. You've been to Go Media for any Auckland FC games?
Yeah, no, I did last year, haven't been this year, but, you know, Auckland FC are really struggling at the moment. They're struggling for any form of consistency coming into a final series. I would have been hoping to get a light, but they fall into an elimination final playoff, and look, Melbourne City come into it with probably the opposite in terms of form. They've won a lot of games recently, and Steve Corriffer will be right up against it to turn around this Auckland FC side form and get them back scoring goals and defending. As we know they can. You know, that took them to a minor premiership last year. But look, I'll keep an eye on the score, but it's probably a little bit down my list when it comes with must-watch television this week.
Yeah, well, there's... Well, of course, there's Liam Lawson in the F1 and everything, but I'm going to ask Piper this now. We've finished the second piece of toast. Now, I sent this to you, and before you start, Piper, it is not my new Elise Andrews, but with the Saudis pulling out their money out of LIV Golf, obviously they'll have more money. Do you believe this could reignite Rugby 360 after the Rugby World Cup?
Potentially. I think it's a wider conversation around where rugby is at, and to Lash's point, I've got an AGM coming up. I think it's around the future of things like, where do they see Super Rugby? Where do they see NPC? How do they see club rugby fitting in? Where do they see the All Blacks as an international brand? And where, you know, and things like, which has become a hot topic of, you know, should we be allowing players like the South Africans to pretty much play wherever they want? And so I think what potentially happens, and you've seen a little bit of this, but not much, where players who think, well, you're going to get two. You're going to get an Artie Savia who could go for $5 million, say, for a season, going, well, I'm going to go for two seasons and I'm done. Or you might get a younger player who goes, oh, I'm not going to make it, so I'm going to go. But we've seen with LIV Golf, that money doesn't necessarily buy the competition.
No, and it doesn't.
You know, Rory McIlroy, they got offered millions, and in the end, it was a pretty limp-wristed competition with no real TV coverage. The teams thing didn't work. Players playing in shorts didn't work. They're playing for three rounds, didn't really work. And you've really seen the demise of some good golfers. Like, Dustin Johnson was the world number one. The man can barely make a cut now. John Rahm was a consistent top five. Can barely make the top 20. So it hasn't done their golf any good. And in fact, I think, now, this is where, like, a Scotty Scheffler, but in particular, a Rory McIlroy, has really done the PGA a service, because guys like him have really just about on their shoulders dragged that competition so far ahead of LIV Golf that, to your point, they were forced to fade. But to your original question, look, I think it's a wait and see. They've shelved it once. I think you will take the wait and see. But again, it's got to have international appeal, and it's got to have appeal and mass population. So we see with IPL cricket, easier because there's just a mass population, but you've got to be able to shout for your team, otherwise it's meaningless, and that was the problem with LIV Golf.
Lashes?
Yeah, look, I think it's a very interesting time, and I think the Saudi Public Investment Fund are probably sitting back now and actually reassessing where they're better off spending their money. I know they went up to Newcastle during the week. They're the owner of the Newcastle Football Club in the Premier League, and they were having board level discussions there around the future of that club and their investment in that. Obviously, they're pulling the LIV funding. Who knows when Donald Trump's going to open up the Strait again, and if he can get that open, and the oil world's ever changing. So, look, I don't think it necessarily means this is a green light for Rugby 360, because they hardly got any traction when they were first, you know, trying to get off the ground. However, look, I'd say there's probably, with their billions, as we've seen with LIV Golf, trying to start something from scratch like they would do with Rugby 360, their money probably better off spent elsewhere at this stage.
Anyway, just on that, guys, and I'm just going to make this comment. Things are changing within rugby in New Zealand, and I think just watch the space. There's a lot of talk going around, and it's getting interesting. And just watch the space. Something's about to happen. I'm just hearing whispers around the trap, and no, I haven't heard it that far, Father Tedsley.
But you only get good information at Farmer Ted's.
Yeah, and a good point too. Anyway, Piper, I hope you struggle through the rest of your days and rest of your time in Fiji. Hope you have a good weekend. Lashes, what are you up to? Are you out dating or are you out watching some club rugby?
Yeah, no, I'll be a little bit of Perth 15 rugby today, I think. I'll go watch all some grammar at Mount Albert Grammar and watch a few races and... Who knows? If the phone lights up.
We can become one of those rapidly growing...